You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tremendous
manufacturer. The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. The movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
You know, Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking to Mox and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm doing a Bigfoot boogie. I got to tell you, Marco, I can't get enough of that song. I can't get enough of all the songs from that album. You know, while that music was being played, I was there in Nashville, Tennessee, when Ramblin' Jack Marlborough, God rest his soul, he's no longer with us, Ivan Marks, myself, and Ernie Montiel, we were there at Hilltop Studios, and we recorded the soundtrack to the movie. And it was called In the Shadow of Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first name of the movie was called Bigfoot Alive in 82 or 81. I don't remember the year. It's been so long. But even if it was from 80, that's 30 years ago, or 82 is 28 years ago. And I'm thinking about those songs that we cut. There was a total of 11 of them he did. He did all 11 of them, believe it or not, in 3 days. All originals. And I got to tell you, those of you who have the album, it's an incredible piece of work. This man was a genius before his time. Ramblin' Jack Marlborough. And boy, did he know how to compose tunes and set music to it and make it all happen, folks. There's one hell of a guy that we all need to remember. I got to tell you something, Marco. I understand that our website is down, but everybody can hear us on Blog Talk Radio and tweeters and all the other thing that goes along with it.
Yeah, they can also dial, there's a dial-in number for the listen-only part of this that I can give them, that some of the people that are listening already could probably call and get it to them.
That's great. Why don't you pass on that information so those people who can't get in, they'll get in now.
Yeah, we have a number. It's a listen-only number. You dial in. It's 712-432-3900. That's 712-432-3900. And then the access code to get into the conference, 737-5634-pound. That's 737-5634-pound. Dial into that number and you can listen to the show on your telephone or dial into Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please forgive us. It's not our fault. It's mechanical difficulties and it's caused by the storm somewhere that's happening in this fine country of ours, and we can only do so much, so bear with us. But we are being heard and broadcast out on Blog Talk Radio, and we have our own independent also. So without any further ado, let's get out and do some shout-outs to our family members, especially those who are going to be on the mend here pretty soon. You've got Leroy Blevins, ladies and gentlemen. You remember him. He did the anatomy of the Patterson film and said that it was a hoax, and he recreated the whole entire thing. We're going to have him on next week. Hopefully he'll be in a better mood. He got flooded out, man, just like all those other people got flooded out. And our prayers go out to you, Leroy, and hope everything comes through. Remember one thing, it all comes full circle one time or another. A.K. Riley just had a hip surgery, and big shout-out to you, my brother, you know, and I know that your son's taking care of you, and your nine girlfriends that you have out there, I'm sure they're taking care of you also. We'll do a lot of praying that you get on the mend, and hopefully we'll see you real soon, A.K. And if you get bored sitting there in the hospital bed, you got my number, give me a call, and I'll cheer you up. And again, my good buddy, my gentle giant, Steve Coffin, up there in Northern California, he had a little scare, and he's getting ready to get checked up tomorrow in the hospital. Our prayers go out to you too, young man, and hopefully everything will be just fine, and it normally is for good people. I want to give a shout-out to my boy Rob Price down there in Alabama. How you doing, son? It's been a while since we talked. Get ready, because we're about ready to get out there to Arizona, where some action's going on pretty good right now. Another brother in that we have out there in Texas, Lee Joyner. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me talk about this guy. This guy has created the Texan vocabulary. He has a slang. He has a Twitter. He has things that can just is beyond compare. If you've ever met him, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, you're passing through Texas, stop by, give him a call, because I'll tell you what, he'll sit and jaw with you for a while, and you'll think that you just went to a whole new entire world. Make sure you have your passport with you after meeting him. Another guy, Chuck Boyd. Hey, Chuck, thanks for emailing me. He's from Des Moines, Iowa, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to know what kind of action's going on out there in Iowa, and him and his friend wants to go out and be an arm of our organization. Well, thanks, Chuck. Give me a call, and we'll get together and see what we could do. Mark Bosco, my agent out there in Ohio. Thanks, buddy, and thank you so much for the kind words. Appreciate it. It means a lot to me. Carolyn James from Nevada. Thank you for all your services, Carolyn. They've come in handy, and believe me, especially now in these economic times. My girls, you hear me talking about Connie. Apparently she's still in the hospital, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of prayers of her getting well. Got a lot of emails and a lot of letters, ladies and gentlemen, and phone calls about Connie. We need to pray for her because she needs to get on the mend. We love you, darling. Don't ever forget that. And we're all in your corner. Becky up in Washington. It's not a day that goes by I don't think about you, Becky. I hope things are well for you and the family, and I hope everything is going strong for you. Frankie in Mississippi, you're a piece of work, Frankie. I don't know what else to say about you. You're just one hell of a gal. Susan from Minnesota. You know, I'll tell you what, it was the first time in my life I ever had a thing called deep dish, and it was there up in Deer River, up in Minnesota. And that wild rice stuff, boy, it sure is something else. If you ever see them harvested, it's really a hoot. You need to see it, ladies and gentlemen. Patty in Nebraska. Patty, thanks so much for calling and checking up on me the other day. Love you, sweetheart. You know, it's, we go back a long time. Leslie in Nevada, same thing with you. You're just a hoot and a half. And where would I ever be, ladies and gentlemen, except for Gigi from PV? Gigi, are you Chichua? And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't picked up on it yet, she's going to respond and say, Tom? Oh, yes, uh-huh, I am Chichua. Private joke, ladies and gentlemen. Paula from Paris, Texas. Hey, thanks, girl. You're the best, man, for turning on our those people down there in the Paris, Texas area, Lamar Point. I don't know if you guys ever heard me talk about her. Her and Donna from Lamar Point, they have a country kitchen. Well, they've been getting all the reports and everything, of course, and when they do, they all come in to us, and we have our people out there. Like this next guy, Bruce Shoupe. You guys remember him out in Paris, Texas? Only thing I want to know about that, Bruce Shoupe, you know, you're a licensed man of Texas taking out all those unwanted critters, snakes, alligators, coons, skunks. Why is it that I'm turning on a TV and I don't see you, but I see Billy the Exterminator? And he's out there collecting spiders and every other damn thing. How come they haven't found out about you yet, son? I think you'd make one hell of an addition to that whole situation. Paul Tonopah out there in Florida, he's the iTunes man. He started it all. He called me up and said, Tom, thank you, man, for what you're doing and what you stand for. I know it's been real hard for you guys, but we're here in your corner. I appreciate that, Paul. Got a call from Bridget Davis, ladies and gentlemen, from Pennsylvania. You remember her. She's the one that has the Pocono Mountains Film Festival, where we won for our movie, Bigfoot Lives, Best Documentary and Best Director. Well, they're having it again in October. She got wind of our new movie, and she wanted to know if we'd enter it, because she says that everybody who's seen it has been giving her a ring and said, "You need, if you thought Bigfoot Lives was good, wait till you see The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax." Off the chain. Kudos and salutations to everyone around the globe, ladies and gentlemen, because we love them all. Everybody, especially in our extended family in the Bigfoot world. Well, let's see what we got here tonight. Look at you. We got some oldies but goodies with us tonight, Marco. Look at you.
You darn tootin'.
Well, hey, you can't use with the stuff you use. Hey, you know, I want to give everybody a reminder. This Saturday night, ladies and gentlemen, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're going to be on ktalk.com, ktalk.com. It's called Sector 5 with Dickie Shannon. He's doing the entire show on me and all my guests. And Jan Allen's going to be one from Alabama. We're going to have Chuck Creel from Alabama. Jan Allen's going to be from Georgia, excuse me. We're going to have Bruce Shoupe in there from Texas. We're going to have Bruce Schilt in from Montana. We're going to have people from all over the world tuning in. This is going to be one hellacious show, ladies and gentlemen. Be there or be square. Let's see. We got Jan Allen from Georgia with us. Jan, you out there?
Yes, he is.
Jan, guys.
I can't hear you, Jen. You okay?
Oh, yeah. I just hollered, "What's that, dog?" I had to do that. I'm sorry. I just moved to Alabama for about 2 seconds and then moved back.
I caught myself and I told him you were from Georgia. But how things been going down there, good buddy?
Yeah, slow right now. I haven't heard anything going on. Me and Rinda went and bought the property today and did the little small ravine that's down by the house where I got them that 15-inch track back in February where we took that picture, but I didn't even see anything down there, which they don't stay around here all the time. You know, they roam this lake, and West Point Lake's a big lake. But
I got to tell you something, Jan. We talked about it last week. It's not just you and not just your area. It's happening all over this continent. For some reason, this inclement weather has not been too good to our Bigfoot folk. And I'll tell you why, because it's been crazy as hell. Here it is, the 11th, the 12th of May, you know. Well, we've been into spring. We're coming upon summer here next month, but the weather has been erratic as hell, and I'll tell you right now, straight up, it hasn't been a good thing, and I think these creatures are confused right now, to be honest with you.
I agree with you. It's been crazy here, too. You know, today and yesterday, yeah, we've been in the 80s. Day before that, we was like 68. The lows have been, was in the low 40s, and, you know, now the lows are back up in the 60s again, so the weather's just been crazy here.
You know, I got to tell you, and you're right, and we're all right on that, and I got to tell you something else. We went from, I'm in the high desert, man. I go from the high desert, and where it's normally this time of the year in the 90s and the hundreds, and all of a sudden, we're hitting temperatures at 47 with a gale winds of 67 miles an hour. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the hell is going on here? But it's crazy. But remember one thing. If we're having our druthers with the weather, what are these creatures having?
Oh, yeah. They're out in it 24-7. They don't do it. They're dealing with a lot worse than we are.
You bet. The whole thing is crazy. The whole thing is entirely crazy right now, okay? And I got to tell you straight up, I think this year, no matter what time any of you guys go out there and search this thing, you just may be one of the luckiest guys in the world, because something's not right. I said it last week. I'm saying it again today. There's a
yes. Oh, go ahead.
That's a problem. Well, listen, you keep your ears on and let us know what the hell's going on. Marco Bill will get a hold of you before Saturday. We're going to have a gigantic, humongous list of all our favorites that we're going to have on the show for Saturday. So let's just enjoy ourselves and get things done. And we got a lot more show ahead of us. Mute yourself out and listen in, and thanks for sharing with us tonight, okay?
All right, Tom, no problem. I'll keep you informed on anything that I hear or have going on. You'll be the first to know it.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much there, Mr. Dan Allen. Appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, okay?
Okay, big guy. You have a great one, and we'll see you Saturday.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dan Allen. Great guy down there in Georgia. He's had the same thing that I'm hearing from all over the country, ladies and gentlemen. It's shocking. It's literally shocking. I'm blowing my mind about what the hell's going on out there. Without any further ado, let's go see my boys down there in Alabama. Chuck Creel and Greg Worthing. You guys on?
Hello?
How you doing, son?
I'm doing fine, young man. How about yourself?
Good. Is Greg with us?
Yeah, he's in there on the computer. I would just run out there to the RV real quick to get a pencil and a piece of paper in case there was any vital information. Then I tripped and fell, and if it hadn't been for my kickstand, I'd have busted my ball bearings. My old dog run out in front of me, and I mean, I just fell over everything.
You know, I got to tell you, I really forgot. You know, Lee Joyner is good. You know, he has a whole new vocabulary in that Texas area region. And I forgot all about you, son, because you could give him a run for his money. you know, that the stuff that comes out of your mouth at times just freaks me out. And it's a joy. I got to tell you that. It's a real joy for me because...
Well, there's a clean way of saying stuff.
What?
I said there's a clean way of saying stuff because I tell you what, I was all over that dang dog had me tore 10 ways from Sunday. But anyway,
oh,
we made
God.
It. And
well, that's all.
Oh,
that
Greg.
Hey, listen, I got to take a pause. Marco, are you out there?
I sure am.
Hey, let's take a pause for the cause real briefly. Let's do some selling on that DB net right now, okay?
Yeah, let me go do it. We'll do it to it. Here we go.
Go to it.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is size
and everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a trembling
manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Yes, right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back on the air again. And, folks, this Saturday, 8 from 8 to 11 o'clock, I have a little button up there on WWW Bigfoot Live, if it ever gets back up here tonight again. And it, if you press on that little old link, it'll take you right to the show. During the week here tomorrow, I'll be publishing out the numbers to dial in and other things and contacting people to be on the show, give you all the information. And Thomas had to take a little bit of thing. Chuck, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, young man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It seems though the weather has affected our server for our web page, and it's not just us. I mean, it's a whole grunch of them. Go ahead. Who's that? Is that Tom?
Oh, yeah, I'm back. I'm back, Marco.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, this weather has been killing things all over town. I mean, come on, look at this tornado that hit Oklahoma. How many people died, my God, and got injured, for crying out loud? Think about these two plane crashes that just went down. And this last one was spectacular. What was it, 114 and a 10-year-old boy?
Yeah.
Survived the crash? I mean, my God, there's crazy things going on in this world, ladies and gentlemen. Crazy, and I mean crazy. But that's okay, you know. We're all here right now, and we're trying to make things happen, and that's all that matters. Chuck, what's going on? I understand that you're having a little difficulty trying to round up a bunch of boys in your area to go out with you.
Oh, yeah, you can hang that up. You know, most people are just too scared, you know, afraid of, you know, just ridicule, you know, things like that. But every now and then I get a hit and I'll write somebody back and I'll never hear from them again. So I don't know, you know. But that's okay. Greg come down from Georgia today. He's here today. And we was kind of going over that. He sent me an aerial shot of that that place down here in Florida, an hour from my house, where his dad and several other people have done seen this creature. And got to looking at it, it was kind of interesting. All kind of creeks and streams and cornfields and stuff like that. So we're looking forward to going down there and taking my new camper down there and just trying that place out, you know. But
you just love that place to death now, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I know that you and Kelly are going crazy with that damn RV.
That's the only way I can get my wife to go Bigfoot hunting with me.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's the only way. I mean, she said, look, you dumbass, you can go do it all you want. She said, I'm not going to go stay in a tent and hunt nothing that can kill my ass. But now that I got this, she got a little bit of protection, so she's kind of, you know, she's been going with me, and I've been proud of her, you know. You know.
That's
so
incredible.
But anyway, I want to say something on...
Go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to say something on that end, what you was talking about, all this crazy weather and all.
Yeah.
Kind of goes back to what you read about in the Bible, don't it? You know?
You mean about Revelation?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not Oral Roberts or nothing like that, you know. I'm just saying everything that he says is happening right now, you know. So, but I just want to find this creature before he comes back. That's all I want to do.
You know, I want to ask you something. I remember when the boys were down there by your house and Cheap Dan was there with you and TJ and all the boys and everything. Apparently, there was something that happened right, real close to your house, wasn't there?
Yes, sir. There was a... That's when I was in here getting stuff ready to round, you know, because I had to go to work the next day, and that's when Cheap Dan come running in and... I really ain't never seen the man move that fast before, you know. I mean, I know he's in good shape and everything, but he just come running through my house, creature, you know. I was like, what's he talking about? And then they had that, my boys had all kind of females over, you know, and they had a little bonfire going out there, and they had loud music going, you know, and of course I lay right on the edge of a swamp and everything. And I be honest with you, I thought he was crazy as hell. Until he made me sit down and I started looking, and it was a full moon, and I seen these creatures myself, three of them. I said, "Holy cow!" And the next thing I want to do is I want to see one in daylight. You know, I want to see the full thing. So, but. It just blew my mind. I know one thing, if Chief Dan tells you there's something there, there's something there. You know?
Well, that's the whole key. That's the whole key. I think what we need to do, Chuck, is anybody got their ears on down there in Alabama, close to Enterprise, and if you know who Chuck is, give him a holler, because, you know, he's probably one of the friendliest guys you'll ever meet. And he's just looking for other people to come out and help him while he's on this search. So,
well, what we're doing, what
give
we're
your
doing
phone
right
number
now,
there. What?
I'll give my email address. I don't want to give my phone number out, though, Tom.
Why don't you give him your email address and ask them to write you?
It's Creel South, C-R-E-E-L, South, at CenturyTel.net. And shoot, yeah, love to have him. You know, me and Greg.
Let's do it slow because nobody, a lot of people aren't as fast as you. So it's Creel, C-R-E-E-L, South, S-O-U-T-H, what?
At CenturyTel.net.
At Century, C-E-N-T-U-R-Y, what?
Tel, P-E-L, dot net.
TEL.net. So it's Century, S-E-N-T-R-Y?
B-E-N-T-U-R-Y.
Okay. Century.
I have the link on www.bigfootlive.com.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And it'll be up there for a long time.
Did y'all want to holler, Greg?
Let me say hello to him. It's been a long time since I talked to that guy.
Well, Greg's a busy man. He's all over the dang country. He's all over the South. Wide open all the time, you know. But here he is right here. We're trying to get a thing up, trying to plan on going down there where this, where they've been seeing this creature. So here he is.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Greg. How are you, son?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. My eyes opened up this morning, and my legs started to walk, so I figure out... I'm still on this side of the earth. I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Listen, I hear you guys are getting ready to go out on another hunt somewhere, huh?
Yeah, as soon as I can slow down a little bit. Chuck's ready to go now, but I told him I just got to get some things caught up first. We're gonna try and go down there where my dad saw one of these things about 25, 30 years ago, down near where I grew up at, in the Florida Panhandle.
Yeah. You know, Greg, I got to tell you a story. I'm totally amazed. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg was one of the guys, along with Chuck, upon me calling him, who came out there to Georgia when we were dealing with those jokers. They actually saw the you saw the specimen, right, that they gave us?
Oh, yeah, in the room, yeah, in the motel room, in that plastic bag there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
we didn't know what it was at the time.
Yeah. No, I want to tell everybody, tell them about your truck. How many miles you got on that thing?
It's pushing 500,000 miles on it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you heard what I just heard. Pushing 500,000 miles. How many engines is that?
That's the original motor on it.
The original motor, ladies and gentlemen. Has anything gone wrong with that rig?
No, it's a motor that come in when I bought it, and I bought it brand new, and it's a 01 Chevy Silverado. Just have to take care of it and change the oil in it like it's supposed to.
And that's all you've ever done?
Oh, yeah.
Aside of putting brakes, tires, you know, normal maintenance, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I only run high-octane gas in that truck, and I only run full synthetic Valvoline motor oil in it. That's all I ever put in it.
Well, then you're a walking testimonial because you're the only guy I've ever known who's had a rig with that many miles. The most I've ever heard of was something like 280,000, and that was a Toyota rig. But you, and you trust that thing pretty good, don't you?
Oh, yeah. This is, I've never had nothing, no problems with the transmission, motor, anything.
Now, you travel how many miles a year?
Oh, about 60.
60,000 miles a year, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. So if you do the math, he's had it for 9 years. It's over 450,000. So he'll give or take some of the other years. Unbelievable, Greg. So what's been happening? Have you been hearing anything? Keeping your ears close to the ground?
Well, I guess Chuck told you about our little trip a couple of weeks ago to Rude Creek.
Yeah, I was there, remember?
At Rude Creek? Not 2 weeks ago.
I was there at Rude Creek. No, not when you guys. I was there way before when that incident happened with the 911 call.
Oh, yeah. That's been a few years back. But, we went about 2 weeks ago and just messed around, looked around, and rode them down that dirt road right there. And when we was driving that road out, leaving Rue Creek, we were just driving down the road and had lights shining in the woods and stuff and just looking, driving real slow. We seen some deer off on the side of the road right there in the woods. And they just kind of picked their head up and looked at us, you know. They wasn't afraid of us at all. And we just kept on driving and shining a light on both sides of the road. Went down, we made it to the highway, turned around and started going back to the campgrounds on the dirt road there. And when we got back to the spot where the deer were at, they just jumped in front of the road, and across in front of the car, and acted like they were in a hurry. And Chuck said, something's chasing them deer. And so we stopped the car, and myself and a buddy of mine that went down there with me, named Donnie, we took a flashlight, me and him started walking into the woods. And Chuck and another friend of mine that went with me, they stayed back at the road at the car. And me and my friend Donnie he's a tracker. He's pretty good at tracking. And he went and found the tracks of the deer. And when he started backtracking back into the woods. And we got back in the woods there probably 100 yards back off from the road there. And once in a while I would shine the light out across there, through there. And the woods have been thinned. They're not thick. The timber's been cut out of them, so they've been thinned out pretty good. So you can see through there pretty good. And I'd shine a light across there, and I shine a light off to my right there just a little bit, and I saw some eye shine, just for a second, saw some eye shine, but I don't know what it was. And so me and my buddy Donnie, we turned and went back to the road. And when we got back to the car there, the road where Chuck and my other buddy was at, Chuck was looking through his night vision stuff, and he said, Greg, he said, well, y'all was out there. He said, I saw something right down a shadow right down this road right here. He pointed to where he saw it. Well, that's the same place I saw the eye shine at. And he said he saw a large trail there.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you saw night eyes. So the night eyes you saw, about how far up off the ground were they?
Well, I can't tell. they weren't close to the ground, but they looked like they were off the ground a little bit, but all I saw was one eye shine. That's all I saw. And it was like a greenish silver look. You know, that's what I saw. It was a greenish glow silver, you know, to it. And that's all I saw was one eye. And when I got back, Chuck told me he saw a large shadow down that where I shined the light at. And it was kind of a greenish yellow, I guess, what you'd call it.
But, let me ask you this. How many of you were out there that night?
Four of us.
When you saw that, the night eyes, did any of you think about going back into the area where it was at?
Well, I wish we had. I wish when I got back to where Chuck was at, I wish we'd went on down that dirt road, down that logging road where he said he saw the shadow at, but... Be honest with you, I was a little spooked going back in there, you know, because those deer, that deer did that, all that deer they did, they were running from something, because we had just went past them and they just looked at us when we drove by. Then when we come back by, boy, they would jump across the road trying to get away from something, you know. So we didn't have any weapons on us at all, and. Then the land is all posted, and Chuck was afraid that, you know, sure enough we get back in there, a game war to come up, and we'll know what we're doing back in there, you know. So we just didn't go. We just let it go. But
that's the reason why, and I tell you guys all the time, you know, wherever you do go out, what you need to do is you need to make the game wardens aware of your presence in the area. You'll never have any problems. You've seen me. You've been out with me enough to see how I get it done. Where, you know, I got the game wardens. Normally, the game wardens come out with us. They've done it in Minnesota. They've done it with us in outside Paris, Texas. They've done it all over the place, you know. And this way, you know, you feel better too, you know, when you do things the right way.
Yeah. I will tell you something I did find out here a few months ago. Sometimes I'll stop by Rue Creek and I'll look around a little bit and then I'll head on to the house from there. And I was driving from Rue Creek towards Fort Mitchell, that where those guys made that 911 call from.
Yep.
The little store there. Well, just before you get to that little store, there's a road there called the Dirt Road, and it's called Wild Man Drive. I thought, you know, I'm gonna drive down this road and see what it looks like. It dead ends way back into the woods back there, and there's a few houses about here, there, and there. And I drove to the very last house back in there, and there's a some people live back there, and I got back there and kind of. Talked to them a little bit, tried to make friends with them, and I said, look here, I was just wondering, how did this road get its name, Wild Man Drive, and Wild Man Bottom Road or something like that. But anyway, I said, how did it get that name, Wild Man? And she told me some tale or something, you know, and then I said, well, I was just wondering, you know, I told her what I was interested in, and she couldn't believe that I was interested in hunting. A hairy man, Bigfoot, you know. So she says, you know what? I got a friend of mine that I worked with that saw something one time. I said, really? She said, let me call her. So she got her on the phone and called her. Well, I was standing there in her yard, and she was talking to her while I was on the phone. She didn't want to talk to me, but she talked to her friend on the phone there, and her friend relayed it to me. And she said that early one morning, she was driving that road. It's from George, I believe it's called Georgetown, Georgia there, and towards. She was coming back towards Rue Creek on that road right there. She said something big and dark walked across the road that morning. It's still dark time, still nighttime, and it. freaked her out. She got to work, started telling about what she saw, and she didn't know what it was. But where she saw this at wasn't far from Rude Creek Park, but it was on the highway.
Wow. You know, I was there, and I never saw that. Boy, I wish I would have known about that. I really wished. How old were those people?
The woman I saw, she wasn't very old. She was about my age, about 50. She just thought it was kind of neat that I was looking for a wild man, a hairy man, you know, and she remembered her friend telling her something she saw over near Rude Creek, because I told her that's where I'd been at, and she got on the phone. She said, I think that's what my friend said, she saw something, and she got on the phone and called her, and she told the story to her, but the girl didn't want to talk to me. She didn't want her name given out to me or nothing, you know. She said and she was relaying me over the phone to me. Through her friend, what she saw and where she saw it at. So I know right where she saw it at, right there near Rude Creek. On the highway.
Well, I got to tell you, it's that is a very subdued area. I was there. I met with the woman who owned the BP service station. And who met the people who made the 911 call and the whole nine yards. And it blew me away, totally blew me away, because I was there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I saw the whole area.
And I told you about the old man that I found down there that saw the creature before the 911 call was made, right?
No, you didn't. Share it with us.
I thought I told you about that. I was there one day just, you know, like I say, sometimes I just stop by there and go down there, and sometimes there won't be a soul there, and just be peaceful and quiet, and I'll just enjoy the peace and quiet for a little while and just kind of look around. And I was there one day, and it was kind of a dreary day, kind of rain, and wasn't nothing going on, and I drove out of the park down that dirt road and got back to the highway. There's a farmhouse there, and the dirt road, there's a farmhouse. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go over and knock on the door there and see if this guy had a big old garden in his backyard. You know, it's all farmland down there. And I said, I'm just going to see if this guy might be interested or have seen anything that he could explain in his garden. You know, might see his track or something. I'm just going to talk to him and see if I can get any information from him. So I go and knock on the door, and this little man comes to the door and got to talk to him a little bit about the weather and stuff. And I said, look here, I want to ask you, if you ever seen anything I hear that you just couldn't explain? And he looked at me, and his eyes popped out. He said, well, what are you talking about? I said, you know, just anything you just couldn't explain, anything unusual. His eyes kind of bugged out, and he says, I haven't. He said, but I got a friend I worked with that saw something one time. I said, what did he say? He said, Bigfoot. I said, what? I never brought up the word Bigfoot. He's the one that told me about it. And I said, where did he see him at? He said, right across the road there, pointing right across the road where I just came from. And I said, well, do you think I could talk to your friend and see if he would talk to me and tell me about it? He said, well, he's at the barn right now. He said, I'm fixing to go to the barn. You can follow him and see if he'll tell you about it. So I followed this fellow James. I followed him to the barn, and he got to the barn. He pointed out an old black man over the barn there over the corner named Gene. I went over and introduced myself, and I said, look here, Gene, James was telling me that you saw something one time, and you didn't know exactly what it was you saw. I said, do you mind sharing that with me? And he started telling me, he says, well, he says, about 10 years ago, and this was about 2 years ago, he said, he had to go out and check one of his irrigation systems, you know, make sure it was pumping water to the crops, make sure it had plenty of diesel and stuff. He said he had to go out and check it about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. He said he was driving along the edge of the field there. He said something caught the corner of his eye in the tree line next to the field there. Something caught his headlights, just caught the corner of his eye there, and he didn't know what it was. So he said, just stopped, put in reverse, backed up, shot his headlights over there. He said, there was a big, tall, hairy man over there looking at him. He said, he was jet black, just as black as coal, he said. He said, his eyes was glowing red in the headlights of his truck. He said, it scared him to death, and he forgot that he was in reverse. He stomped the gas to get out of there, and he backed the truck up into the field a little bit. And then, you know, farm trucks all loaded down with equipment and stuff, and it's heavy, and that farm dirt was soft. He said, that truck got bogged down a little bit. He put that thing in drive. He said he'd like to blow the motor up in that thing trying to get that truck out of that soft sand. He said that truck was just bouncing. He had that thing wound up. He said the whole time, he said this thing was walking away from him. He was watching it and walking away. I said, well, Gene, when it was walking away from me, was it walking away on four legs or two? He said he up two fingers at two legs. And he said that truck finally got some traction. He got out of there and went back to the house. And he said he don't do that job no more. Somebody else does that. But I asked him, I said, well, Gene, I said, in reference to Rue Creek Park, can you tell me where you saw this thing at? He thought for a minute. And he said south. It was south of the park. And I thought, south of the park. And I thought, well, whenever I'm at the park, there at the boat ramp, and I look across the creek, all I see is woods. So I got on the internet, and I pulled up, I pulled up Google Earth, and Rue Creek Park. Guess what I saw? Right across the creek from Rue Creek Park, a big old field with an irrigation pivot dead center of it, just south of the park. Matched up to his story.
That says one thing, doesn't it, Greg? It shows you that these creatures follow the waterways, don't they?
So, and that happened about 2 years before the 911 call.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me. It just substantiates everything that we've talked about in the past. And I got to tell you something. It's a joy to have you on the show as usual. I was getting immersed in when you were talking, and the show has gotten away with me because we're really late. But you know what? I want you to tell that story on Saturday throughout the nation, because we got that three-hour show, and I love you and love for you and Chuck to be on it with us. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being with us tonight, okay?
All right. Good deal, Tom.
Good talking to you, and you be well, and tell Chuck and Kelly and the gang that we send our love, and we'll talk real soon this Saturday coming up, all right?
All right. Talk to you all later. See you.
Thanks, good buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Chuck Creel and Greg Worthington down there in Alabama. Some great, great guys. They've been out on hunts with me. True blue, loyal as hell, real true Americans. I'm glad to know that there's people still out there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm running a little late here, so let's hurry up and try to get my brother from another mother up in Montana. Bruce Shields, you out there?
Right here, Tom.
How are you doing, brother? Good, I'm doing fine. I was getting so immersed in that story that, you know, Greg was telling us, I just let time just run away with us.
Yeah, I was too. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. You know, this Saturday I've got that three-hour show all over the world. We're going to have you up there on it with us too, by the way, if you can make it. Hope you can anyway.
Sure try.
Okay, look here. What's going on with the weather up there by you guys?
Well, it's miserable. You know, it didn't snow today, but it's been snowing every day since last Wednesday. Snowing and melting, and it's just miserable.
I want to ask you the question that I've asked so many people. You know, normally they go north to south and south to north depending on the seasons. Has there been any action up there right now, Bruce?
No. Never heard any. Not lately. I think they must have got snowed out or something, because the mountains are pretty snowed in. They haven't been. I haven't heard any stories lately.
Yeah, see, that's my concern right now. I think these things are totally confused. You know, normally in other areas of the country this time of year, you know, this is the end of spring, the beginning of summer coming up. But never has the winters lasted this long. Well, what do you say about that, Bruce?
I don't know. You know, if you study the Bible, any, it says seasons are going to change, and you know, the fruit will be bearing when it's winter, and the seasons will be all backwards and everything like that, and it's just the way it says in the Bible, you know. But I don't want to.
That's a new curve on it, and you're right. I've heard of that. It just blows me away, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, wow, can it be?
Yeah, everything's going around so fast and coming at you, you know, you just can't get your bearings, you know. You know, there's one thing, Tom, I would like to tell you. It's concerning those skinwalkers that you mentioned last week. And what your friend told you about them is true. You know, they're pure evil. And, you know, it's no good to be around them. You know, because it's a matter of life and death. Or it could paralyze you or whatever, you know. You know, they don't need to, all they need to do is touch you or something like that, and, you know, they could cripple you for life. It's very dangerous. It's pure evil.
You know, Bruce, I want to tell you, thank you for your concern. And it wasn't just yours, and I didn't want to bring it up, but you did. And I didn't want to talk about it last week, neither, because I'm just trying to put it out of my mind. I had received maybe 70 to 80 phone calls. I had received about 10 phone calls that people were concerned with my life.
Yeah.
And because I've never talked about it before. And the only ones I did talk to about it was with Dave O and, of course, Johnny. Because those guys are pretty well versed in it, you know, and JC. And I had that guy on the phone with Dave O, and these guys were talking stuff that I never even knew existed. And I heard a lot about it, but I just want to forget about it. I want to put it out of my mind. I don't want to have anything to do with these kind of people. And you're right, and thank you for the concern.
Absolutely, Tom. You know, that's good advice. Love you, and we pray.
All the advice you've extended out to me with your extended hand and what have you has been grateful and fruitful advice, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Next Saturday is going to be a big show, and we're going to talk about your first encounter and all that kind of stuff. Hope that you're going to be with us, okay?
Yeah. You know, I did hear a couple stories lately. The guy was supposed to be on the show tonight, but I don't think he made it. He had an encounter with a Bigfoot. And then this other lady, she come out with her story, and she had an encounter too. But they're both from the same household, so you know, I gave them the number to call in, but I don't think they made it.
What you need to do is give those numbers to Marco Bill, and we'll have them on next Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, I told Marco Bill about it, but I didn't give him the number, but I will.
I appreciate that. Look, I'm losing time here. Talk to you on Saturday. Kiss the kids, kiss the wife. Tell everybody I said hello. God bless you.
You bet, and God bless you too, Tom.
Bye-bye, my brother.
See you.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Bruce Schilt, my brother from the North, Blackfeet Reservation. One hell of a guy. You'll hear his whole entire story this next Saturday. Remember, it's ktalk.com, Sector 5. It's the Dickie Shannon Show, and we're going to catapult this guy's show into the orbits. Without any further ado, let's get down there to LVL, Kentucky, and see how my good brother and son, Steve Dismore, you on the line?
I'm on here, Tom. How about you doing? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all fine. I'm worried about you. We prayed for your mom and dad and the catastrophic situation with the flooding down there. What's happened?
Well, everything seemed to be going good this week until we just got the news that the rivers are going to jump again, so everything that we thought we'd save, we're going to lose.
Oh, my God.
They have no place for the water to go. The lakes up here are so full that they held them back. Now the Ohio River and the Mississippi River are full, so they can't let them run out yet. So we're just waiting to see what happens.
Well, let me ask you, has FEMA gotten involved?
Do what now?
Has FEMA gotten involved? Has our federal government gotten involved?
Well, you'll see one of them running around, but they don't seem to be stopping and talking to anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Typical, huh?
I mean, I think they're taking pictures with county commissioners and stuff like that, but they're not talking to individuals. The only thing that I've seen in the paper so far is that if you own a business, that they may help you with your business. But as far as people like my mother's house, they've not ever talked to them about nothing. It's like
a shame. It's a total shame. But her health is okay.
Yeah, we got her out on the boat before it happened. My dad stayed. He stayed in his building. His building sits up a little higher in his house, so he stayed there. And I've been volunteering my time just watching different little areas and different little towns, helping them sandbag, just basically supervising sandbag operations. People that have never done it before, you know, they're kind of at awe. And they don't know what to do, so, and I've got a little bit of experience at it, so I've been supervising sandbagging. And we're just waiting. It's supposed to rain all this week.
Yeah, it's crazy weather.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything like it. Well, look here, we got to check in with Alex here. I only got a couple of minutes. God bless you. Our prayers go out to your mom and dad, of course to you, and anything you need, if we've got it, we're there for you, partner.
All righty, buddy. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good
time. I hope that you're on the show for us on next Saturday. It's going to be huge.
I'd love to come.
Okay. Thanks so much, Steve-O. Be careful. God love you.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Dismore down there in Kentucky. Great guy. He's been on expedition with us. He's always there with a helping hand, like he's down there now, helping with the sand.
2 minutes, Tom.
Alex, you out there, son?
I sure am, Pa. That was me trying to interrupt earlier. Sorry about that, but...
That's okay. You're there now. The 2 minutes is yours. Tell us what's going on down there.
Well, you know, we got everything going on in Arizona, as usual. We got the four or five different locations. But also we had a bunch of buddies go that only one of them has kind of been out with me before. They're just, you know, they're not Bigfoot hunters, per se. They're just out there camping. So they went to my location and Mitch's location that we use for base camp. I brought Brian there before. Him and his girlfriend, his parents were at another site, and another party from my office that went with them were camping out. And through the night, exactly like happens to Mitch and I, Brian's girlfriend heard some loud footfalls around the tent, walking around the tent, shuffling through the equipment or the food. And the next morning, there was a couple of bottles turned over or poured out or something like that, and there was a package of food missing. So something with hands took a whole package of food. Now, you know a bear or a raccoon isn't going to take the package. It's going to rip it apart. So, and then they heard the footfalls go right up the hill.
I'm going to have to close.
Okay. They heard the footfalls go right up the hill behind the tents where we've seen some video from and pictures from Mitch and myself in the past. So kind of neat when some non-believers go up there and have such an active weekend, you know. So that's pretty neat.
Wow. 20 seconds. We need to say goodbye.
Okay. All right, son. Don't forget about this Saturday. It's going to be a big show, and I'm going to need you out there with me with Marco Bill. God bless you. Keep the faith. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in ball club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is sort of like
everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts.